Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NATCO Pharma Limited's Q1 FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Randeria from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Carol, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Group, I welcome you all for NATCO Pharma's Q1 FY 2024 earnings call. With us, we have NATCO Pharma's senior management team, represented by Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. Over to you, Rajesh, for opening remarks.
Yeah. Thank you, Kunal. Good morning, and welcome everyone to NATCO's conference call, discussing our earnings results for the first quarter of FY 2024, which ended June 30th, 2023. During the call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements or statements about future events, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I'd like to state that the material of the call, except for the participant questions, is the property of NATCO and cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without NATCO's express written permission. We'll begin with the results highlight and followed by an interactive Q&A session. So we hope you received our financials and press release, which was sent yesterday. These are also available on our website. So, for the quarter, NATCO had recorded consolidated total revenue of 1,160 crores for the first quarter, which ended June 30th, 2023, as against 918.9 crores for the same period last year, reflecting a growth of roughly 26%. The net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 420.3 crores, as against 320.4 crores same period last year, showing a growth of 31.2%. The company had made a provision of 51 crores during the quarter towards pending patent infringement litigation cases for its products in India. And as a disclaimer, this is without admission of either the liability for infringement or validity of such patents. Company also incurred a one-time special incentive to employees of 17 crores. So, but for these one-time expenses, the profits would have been higher for the quarter. Major drivers for the business during the quarter were from formulation exports. We had a strong growth in domestic business of both pharma and agro, and we continue to see very steady sales from the subsidiaries. We'll pause here. We'll take your questions. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, my question is basically on the margin front. Are we able to sustain these margins, or is this cyclical in nature because of the residual or product that we have it currently?
I think we'll have a good quarter, I think, coming Q2 as well. I think we should probably have a similar quarter. I think by Q3, I think it'll slow down a bit. Again, things will pick up in Q4.
Okay. So how about the margin? Will it be in the same control? Like, our operating margins are currently around 45.6%+. So how about these margins?
I think so. I think so. I think as I said, no, the Q1 and Q2 will. I think Q2 also will, you know, I mean, I can't exactly, you know, estimate exact numbers until the quarter ends, but I think our sense is that we'll have a similar quarter like Q1, and Q3 till, you know, I think will be done, will taper off, and I think Q4 things will pick up.
Got it. Thanks for that, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Thanks. Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought PMS.
Good morning, and congratulations on a good set of numbers, team. So my first question is, what contributed to the good recovery in the domestic business, for the quarter, and is this a new base for us?
I think we are, oncology is doing very well, and I think that's the good news. And we had one one-time order, so that also has brought about a good jump on the sales. But it's partially driven by growth and partially driven by a one-time order.
How big was this one-time order, sir?
I top of my head, I can't recollect. I think there's a split between the both. I can't recollect the number.
All right. On agro side, it seems a little bit tepid. So what is the reason for that, and what do we expect for the full year going forward?
Well, I think the season just started. I would say we have gone from 1 crore to 45 crores, I think.
Right.
I don't think that's tepid. It's a fairly good run. We practically had no sale in that division, so I think it's the first time we actually, the first June quarter, we had that type of sale. So, I would characterize it as a good start, and even Q2, my expectation is that we should do better than what we did in Q1. And I think we're on target to do that 150-200 crores revenue in the agro division.
150-200 crores?
Yeah, yeah. For the annual year, yeah. I think both the CTPR and CTPR combinations are doing extremely well, and we're very happy with the feedback that we're getting. And so we're running ads in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana as of now. And also we intend to run, you know, Marathi ads for the state of Maharashtra in the next 1 month for our agro products. So I think we're doing well, and we're very excited how things are going.
Right. And sir, just one more question, if I may. This is a little bit broad question. So what do we think is our next big bet post Revlimid in the pipeline, right? So if you see Revlimid is playing out for us. And currently we are doing about 300 crores of base profit plus Revlimid profit. So post 2026, how do we sort of compensate for Revlimid profit? That's my question.
I mean, we are obviously thinking beyond Revlimid. I think we have quite a few products. I think it's there in the investor presentation. Now that you brought this up, I'll play out the big ones. Number one, I think semaglutide, we have a good filing on one particular strength. We believe we are sole FTF. We have a partnership with Mylan on that. Then we have a filing called olaparib, which we have a joint venture with Alembic, where we are sole FTF. It's an oncology breast cancer product, so, and other indications as well. So that's a very good product. Then we have the new one that we filed recently called adagrasib. It's not so big right now. It's about $40 million, $38 million-$40 million, if I recall properly. But if the product grows into, let's say, $100-$150 million or $200 million over the next few years, you know, there's a huge opportunity. There we are sole FTF. Hopefully we are sole FTF, and what you call, and 100% of the profit is with us, because this is done through our own sub, and we are fronting the litigation. And then we have, these are the really big ones, and then we have Imbruvica, but of course, there, we have lost the appeal, so we need to see where we can go from there. And then we have mid-level, smaller ones. We have Kyprolis and Tracleer, where we have one strength Kyprolis and Tracleer. It's a smaller product, but they're like $30, $40 million, $100 million type of products. So there we have, you know, first to file. So we have enough pipeline, my friend. I think I named quite a few ideas, but I think if you fill up another five, six ideas, I think you'll see some consistency going into the next decade. I think that's what we are spending our money on, and I think that's what we're focusing on.
Right, sir. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind all participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of N.K. Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, Mr.
Sir, first thing I want to know, till 30th of June, what percentage of Revlimid has been sold?
I think for competitive reasons, I'm not answering that question. But I think we'll have one more good quarter, like similar to this quarter. And I think then we'll taper off. I think that's the best way I can answer that question.
Okay, sir. And secondly, sir, now that we are already 4.5 months into the year, can we have a ballpark figure or range of the annual profits this year will have?
Good question. It all depends on, you know, multiple factors. I think I'll go past 1,000 crores comfortably. I think that's the feeling I get. How much more will go to 1,100 or 1,200? It all depends on how the year ends. But I think conservatively, I want to say we'll go past 1,000. But how much more than 1,000? I think it all depends on, you know, how the market plays out. So that's a little difficult to guess. But I think in that range, I think is what I feel. I think 1,000 to 1,200 range is what my expectation is, depending on how things go. Now I'm talking about profit after tax.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Hussain Baruchawala from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to understand, on the agrochemical front, how do you think that the agrochemical will shape up? So CTPR is one of the products which we have been able to capitalize on. But how are you planning to grow these teams? Because you said you have identified 5-6 products in this piece. So how big those can be and how big the agrochemical piece can be in the overall scheme of things can be in the times to come? Yes. So that was my first question.
Yeah, sure. Let me answer that question. So I think we have started off well. I'm very happy how we started off. I think we're expecting about 150 to 200 crores this year. And I think we have pipeline for next year as well. And we also see organic growth in CTPR in India. And also we are doing registrations in outside India as well. So we have filed this in Brazil. We're filing it in US. So we're doing other markets as well. So we're filing our agro portfolio outside India. So the export business might take 2 to 3 years from now. But overall, I think my expectations is business should go to around 400 to 500 crores in the next 3 to 4 years. And that's our expectation. And it'll be a good, solid business and contributing solidly for our both bottom line and top line.
So any, just to add a follow-up question, so what will be the EBITDA margins that you expect from this side of the piece to be, will be EBITDA accretive, and how, what will be the range, EBITDA range from this agrochemical space?
I think it will be close to our base business. I think it should do well, and I think it will sort of similar to our pharma business as well. We're doing branded, we're going directly to customer. We do third party, but most of our sale, 90% of our sale comes from direct customer interaction. And I think we're focusing on niches and the high value products. So again, see what margin you'll have in the future, only time will tell. I mean, you can't really answer a question like that. But I think our expectation is that it should be a good margin, similar to our pharma business. I think that's our expectation based on certain assumptions we have made on our pipeline and our price erosion.
Got it. One question. On your cardio and gastro, so you plan to expand on the cardio and gastro front. So how is that space, that piece shaping up? And you had also planned an acquisition which for around 1,000 crore. So how is the acquisition, is there that shaping up? Are you in talks with someone? Can you give some light on that?
We're looking at acquisitions both in India and outside India to expand our business. I think we have recently announced in UK we're buying a company, so we are doing an asset purchase of this company so that we can front end in UK. we're always looking at transactions. You know, we have good amount of cash and our balance sheet. You know, we don't have much debt. So I think we'll do it when the time is right. I mean, to say we look at opportunities all the time. We are we're looking at different things. Hopefully, we'll succeed at something. Yeah. Thank you. Next caller, please.
And sir, on cardio and gastro front, if you can give some color as to what type of products and how are you scaling it up, sir, if you can give some guidance.
The business is doing well. They're all growing around 10 to 15%. I think both the divisions are doing well. We have good pipeline. I think we're going at the market price. Yeah.
Got it, sir. Got it. So that was from my
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sapna Jhawar from Kotak Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. Raju,
ma'am, I'm so sorry to interrupt. May I please request you to speak a bit louder as your audio is not audible?
Sure. Just give me a minute. Hi, is this better?
Go ahead, Shada. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So, Rajiv, just wanted to understand, you know, more on the capital allocation perspective. You did mention about some acquisitions in India as well as UK. So, front-ending UK, we also acquired Dash sometime back, front-end US, I presume. So, is model changing, you know, where we now would want to go front-ending in every market versus the partnership that we were following earlier? If you could just, you know, share some details around that.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely. I think we spoke about this in the past call, so I'll just repeat that again. I think the business is getting more competitive, and I think a lot of markets we want, at least the big markets, we want to go front-end directly ourselves. I think that's what we're evolving. But however, for complex generics, which require a substantial amount of R&D, we're still doing alliances. But for some products which are not that complicated or which are where we feel we can spend the money, we are also going directly. Like a few minutes ago, I spoke about Adapitinib that we filed. There we don't have a partner, and we have kept, you know, we're keeping 100% of the economics. So I think, you know, it's a case-to-case basis, but broadly, yes, I think we're going direct. Yes, that's correct. You're absolutely right.
But if I were to, you know, understand a couple of years back, you were of the view that you were probably on, you know, is on a deterioration phase specifically for generics, and going front-end in that market would actually not be really beneficial. So is there a change in our view, or is the market changing structurally there?
It's never that. I think, see, the business is always difficult. I never thought, you know, you just have to find the sweet spot and the right product to do. I never said I think we'll not do it. I think it's a question of, you know, the problem is when you do front end is you need to burn money, right? I mean, see, what happens when you do a front end? You got to burn money before the subsidiary is stabilized. Earlier, people would, you know, fund you for your legal and your partnership that you had to spend. So there's more expense on your balance sheet. So that sort of stuff, but obviously you'll make more money when the launch happens. And I think we have the, you know, we have the comfort now to do these things, because I'm willing to let, you know, lose that money to build that business. So I think that's, I mean, it just gives me more comfort because we're more comfortable now compared to, let's say, a few years ago. That's you evolve with your, you know, your situation, right? So I think.
So just, you know, one last bit of the same question. Now, I'm just trying to understand, with the substantial amount of cash that we have, a certain portion would go into acquisitions, building the front ends. But would we also be extending our domestic franchise, you know, the one where we diversified from onco to cardio diabetes? Do we intend to acquire anything here and expand this franchise? Will it completely go into agro, or will it be an export-oriented focus in terms of capital allocation?
Good question. I think what we have done is we did a buyback. So we spent, I think, 210 crores plus the tax. I think it's about 250 crores on buyback. We are giving now 125 crore dividend. So I think this is what we have done in the near term. In spite of the buyback and the dividend that we gave, we're still sitting on about little less than 1400 crores of cash and cash equivalents and shares. So I think this is as of July 31st is the cutoff, if you take that as a as of July 31st. So we'll see. I mean, you know, we always look at all opportunities. I mean, we've been giving money back, at the same time trying to prudently spend money on acquisitions where we have gaps. and spending money on R&D, just expensive money on R&D. So using that, the cash flow to, spend on more complex generics and more products. So I think that's what we're doing. To your question, will we do a big acquisition? We're looking, honestly. I don't want to do anything in a hurry. I think, do the right one. I think I'm being conservative. Yeah, I might be conservative, but what's the hurry, right? I mean, you do it when you think the valuation is right. And I think what we're doing now in terms of building value, I think, is, good enough. And I think acquisition also is important, but, we'll do it when, and with a, that's a larger capital allocation. So I think I want to do it when I'm comfortable.
For sure. Conservative is good. Thank you so much, Ajit.
Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Rajiv, how are we looking at the U.S. market? Do you see any benefits coming to us from these companies, two companies moving out of the market? Do you see any opportunities for a different basket of products?
Cinderella, I must apologize. I didn't understand anything I said. Very, a lot of static. Can you repeat that question one more time, please?
Sir, this is a Chorus Call operator. I'm so sorry to interrupt. Ma'am, I would request you to please use the handset mode while speaking.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is this audible now?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Please proceed.
Yeah, so sorry. I'm repeating my question. I'm asking, Rajiv, is there any shortages, opportunity in the U.S. market coming to our basket? Do you see many companies have moved out of the market? Any scenario emerging for us from a U.S. perspective right now? Do you envisage or overcoming 2-3 quarters? Do you see anything coming our way from these kind of shortage scenarios?
I think your question is whether do we see any opportunities in the shortages in the U.S. at this time. Honestly, Cinderella, I mean, we see sometimes for like a short period of time and it goes away very quickly. So you can't build a business model on shortages. I don't think, again, I'm telling you a slightly contrary view than what people would normally say. You will get some opportunities here and there. We got not many. Honestly, we don't have too many of those opportunities. Sometimes we get, but not really. But the pricing is competitive in a multi-source environment. And the real value, again, I'll repeat it that again. I've said this many times over many years. The real value is always doing the niches and the hard-to-do generics, where there's limited amount of competition. That's where the real money is. Everything else is, it's not as sustainable as what a niche and a complex generic between the two.
No, helpful. Helpful. And on the domestic piece, organically, are you seeing or planning any products or are there some products which will come over in 3 years that you see in terms of filing organically, not some inorganic opportunity?
Cinderella, I didn't understand what you said. I'm so sorry. If I paraphrase what you said, you're saying, I didn't understand you, honestly. I don't want to paraphrase you. Could you say that again or I'm sorry, I apologize.
I'm asking from an organic perspective, are we looking for some products from our organic basket in domestic market?
I think we have good, if I understand you correctly, I think we have a good pipeline in our organic growth and I think we're launching about 15-20 brands. So I think we're doing well. We have a couple of very first-time generics in India, so especially the oncology pipeline has done very well. So I think we're bullish and I think we'll grow at the industry rate. Yeah. Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Kadar Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So first on the India front, so on the India, I mean, what's the outlook there? I mean, how much of the surrender rate what we have seen in this quarter is sustainable and what are the kind of launches you planned for the remainder of FY24?
I think I think that some of the growth is captured by a one-time and there's a general growth. I think I always said that the growth is around 10 to 15%. I think that's the guidance I would like to give over the base business last year. In terms of pipeline, I think oncology is doing very well for us. I think that's a segment that we always done well and we're doing well. We continue to do well. And the other segments also are improving. And we have good pipeline of products, about 10 to 15 products that we have planned. And I think that business should do well.
Sure, sir. And so secondly, on your profit guidance, what you gave, almost 1,000 to 1,200 crores for this fiscal. And if I try to sync this with the, you know, your earlier commentary, which said that Revlimid for Q2 would be a little better, and then you expect a pickup in Q4. So ideally, you know, with the kind of run rate you have already achieved, and there were certain one-offs in this quarter as well. So, I mean, there seems to be a bit of a conservatism in your numbers. So am I, you know, missing something over here, or the guidance is a bit of a conservative here?
You know, there's so many uncertainties in life, right? He's asking me to predict something that will happen 6 months from today, so which is very difficult to do. So what I can, you know, I'm also human, right? So I can tell you there are a lot of, you know, multiple factors at play. So, I stand by what I said, you know. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that could happen. So, you know, you can only make a guesstimate of what it is. I'm only trying to make an estimate based on what I know, right? And, but again, there's still, in this financial year, there's still, you know, another 8 months left, right? So, you know, it's tough to judge, but I pretty much stand by what I said. I, you know, you can't really predict the future, literally, yeah.
So. All right, sir. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So first, I just wanted to understand if you can give a little bit of perspective on the Revlimid pricing scenario in the market and competitive intensity. Is it the same? Has it changed? Anything changed in the market, or is it like going the way it was going last quarter and earlier?
I think we're doing well, my friend. I mean, generally, I don't speak so much details because of competitive reasons. But I think the product is doing well. I think overall our business is doing well. We're happy where we are, and I think all our, you know, domestic has done well. Our first time our agro has been profitable. So I think we were losing money earlier, so I think now we're making money. So that's been a reasonably good swing. And our subs, I think we're investing in our subs, and the subs have also been stable earnings this year, this quarter. So I think overall, I think the sector is doing well, and I think all our businesses are doing well. I think our U.S. front end is the only business that we're losing money at this time. So I think hopefully we'll be able to fix that in the next few quarters. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Second one was on Lonsurf. So have you already launched the product? And how do you see that distributing? Yeah.
It's an FTF, but it's a shared FTF. So it's there in our investor presentation. I think litigation is still ongoing. Top of my head, I don't know where we stand on the litigation. I think there are two separate litigations. One litigation got done. There's another litigation for which a trial date has not been set. No, there is no clarity on the launch at this time. It's too premature.
So the approval that we received, so that is irrespective, right? So the litigation is what will drive the launch.
Different approval is different. What we did is we got the approval. The litigation is still not resolved.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And third question was? Yeah, just a last one. On the domestic side, so let's say 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, let's say kind of give a guesstimate of where we would be in terms of the top line on that particular business?
You mean domestic?
Yeah.
I think we have stated goal is about to grow around that industry rate, about 10 to 15%. So I think we believe we can achieve that. Yeah. We get an acquisition, obviously we'll get a little more bump. But yeah, I think that's the expectation. Thank you. Next caller. Oh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv and Dean. Good morning, and thank you for your time. Three questions from me. On crop protection, right, is your current strategy revolving around CTPR and combinations only, or there's something on top of that? And how much of that business do you anticipate to sell through your own channel? And I mean, a percentage would help. The second, what's the cash in books on 30th June? And, purely from a capital allocation standpoint, would you be willing to lever your balance sheet to drive inorganic growth? And the third,
Karan, don't ask so many questions. Let me answer the first two, then we'll come to that. Okay. So let's start with the agro. Rajesh, you want to answer the agro questions?
Yeah, Karan. So, see, as of now, our business is predominantly built on CTPR and all the combination products. So we have about 10 products in pipeline, actually on commercial mode right now, and half of them are CTPR related. Okay. So. Majority of the business is through our own branding and channels. Roughly around 10% we are going through P2P. Okay. We have interesting things in the pipeline. Next financial year, we expect at least, you know, somewhere between 5 to 10 launches, which we have, you know, these are unique, differential products.
And to answer your question on cash, I don't have the number for June 30th. I think we have number for July 31st. We have about 1386 crores in cash, including cash and shares. And we have a debt of about 104 crores. Mostly formal discounting. That's it. I think I've answered all your questions.
Will you be willing to lever your balance sheet, Rajiv, to drive inorganic growth?
Inorganic, you said?
Yes.
Will I lever mean borrow, you're saying?
Yes.
No, I won't lever. To answer your question. The reason is I am conservative. I think we take a lot of long-term bets. I never a big fan of borrowing a large amount of money to do an acquisition. I think we'll do it with the cash flow we have. And I think we have a strong enough balance sheet. And if the right opportunity comes, I'll never say never. But I think if you put me on the spot and say, ask me this question, I'll say no.
Okay. Just the last question. How is the base business for exports done ex Revlimid? I mean, if you were to strip out Revlimid from now in the base, how is that business done?
I think we're doing well. I think, you know, the agro, for example, as, you know, earlier was losing about 10, 12 crores a quarter. I think this quarter has turned profitable. So that's good. The subs are doing about 130 crores of sale. 129 point something. So that has done well, primarily driven by Canada and Canada and Brazil. So I think those have been the star performers among the subs. And I think the domestic has been stable. The API has been stable. So I think overall, I think we are happy where we are. But I think we are trying to build a pipeline which will, you know, with the money that we have, using the cash that we have, strengthening our filings in all these markets and expanding our geographical, you know, spread. We are thinking about 8-10 markets we have to be in front end. I think right now we are front end in India, US, Canada, and Brazil. So I want to add another 4 to 5 countries. So I think Colombia, we're setting it up. UK, we're setting it up now. Indonesia, we already spoken. And maybe another 1 or 2 countries will probably do. So that will cover the 10 major countries in the world. You know, if you are present, I think you'll cover most of your pharmaceutical business. I think that's the strategy.
Super. Thanks, Rajiv. And glad to see all your bets paying off. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Celly from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Rajiv, last quarter you were mentioning that we have done almost like 25% of the volumes which were we assigned for the development. So how it has been for this quarter? Have we done almost like 50-60% overall?
I didn't want to answer that question. It's for competitive reasons. I think I've answered that question indirectly. I think we are expecting a good quarter. We had a good quarter, and I think we'll expect to have a equally good quarter in Q2, and then we'll taper off in Q3. I think that's a reasonable answer at this time.
Sure. And just wanted to get some sense on how do you see the pricing environment? Let's say probably next year could also be good, but entering the third year, FY25, do you see the price erosions to be material in this product, considering the competition landscape will be going up?
I don't know. Bharat, honestly, I have no idea. I think it's the same question that I think indirectly the other person asked me. What are your earnings going to be? It's tough to judge. I think you take it by the quarter and see how things go. I think generics is the way it is. I mean, it's a very competitive business. There's always pricing pressure. I don't think I can answer that question.
Right. And the last one from my end. So actually, you have even mentioned right now. So what we have been hearing.
Sorry. Say that again, Bharat.
Mr. Bharat Saili, we are unable to hear you.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So actually, we have been hearing from some of the peers as well that the overall pricing environment in the US is actually changing, and we are seeing some of the price cooling off. So how do you see the overall US market behaving like? Have you seen any green shoots there, and are you seeing some structural changes right there?
I have a different view. I think it's a very competitive business. I think structurally what has happened is the distributors have a lot of hold on the companies, and in a multi-source environment, even if there are shortages once in a while, you won't get that sort of advantage. You might get business, but you don't get great pricing, honestly. You don't. And you can't build a business model on in a multi-source generic. You can't. I think you need to have a mix of doing complex generics and niches and parafors and mix it up with a multi-source generic. You need to have both, of course, because you need a basic basket. But end of the day, basket also doesn't matter after a point, because end of the day, they only care about the price. So I think that's how Western markets are. I think, again, I said this at the beginning of the call. I think if you believe $100 is the amount of profit pool that's there in the next 10 years, I think $60 or $70 will come from the niches and the complex generics. And 30 to 35 will come from the more multi-source generic. And you need to be present in both, and at the same time, you need to know where you're putting your money.
But have you seen any of the distributors getting a bit on the back foot to give better pricing, considering they are trying to ensure on the supply side?
Personally, I'm not that, it is not, I will not characterize that, that there's a dramatic change in the behavior. Maybe sometimes you'll see one product here and there, but that's not enough to say that there's a change. I will not say that. I don't believe that, because it's structurally difficult. See, we understand the business, my friend. I think you see, who are we competing with? We're competing with fellow Indian companies, right? And you look at the balance sheets of other Indian companies. All of them have healthy balance sheets. We're not like the Western generic companies. We live out with the exception of Sando. All of them are, heavily leveraged and either not interested in generics or, are doing very little work in generics. Or just because they have a legacy business, they have this basket and they sell. And you're competing with that type of competitors who don't mind selling things at low margin just because they make money in other businesses that they do. So, and all family-owned businesses, so everybody looks at long-term. So it's very difficult to compete. Honestly, I think it's a very competitive business, and I think you cannot just do a basket and make money. I think you can't look at the world like that.
That's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind all participants to please limit your question to 2 per participants only. You may rejoin the question queue if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. So a couple of questions. Firstly, on semaglutide, could you give a sense of what the market size is for the 8 milligram version?
I think the strength is doing well. I don't have the number, my friend. Honestly, top of my head, I have the number. I'll come better prepared next time. I don't have the number. I have to look up the IMS and come back. Yeah. At this time, I don't have it.
Okay. Yeah, sure, no problem. And second, I missed your reply earlier on the M&A question. So if you could just, give a sense of what are your key priority areas to plug from an M&A perspective, if you have to rank them, say, the top 3 areas which you would like to plug?
I mean, there are what are the gaps in our business, right? I mean, let's answer that question. So the gaps are probably, I mean, we're not present in the ROW markets, the key ROW markets. So I think we have a front end or a large front end in any of the key ROW markets, that'd be one gap. Domestic market, obviously, is a big gap that we have because we're not present in all the therapies. So, and operating in multiple countries, I said about 8 to 10 countries we need to operate so that you get scale in this business. And whatever you spend on R&D, you get a better bang for your buck. I think these are probably the three areas that you want to focus on. Setting up more subs in key markets, filling a gap in a market where you're not present, at an international level, and three, maybe a gap in the domestic. I think these are three areas you want to focus on. Okay.
Yeah, and just one follow-up question on the India part. So when you're looking at assets in India, are you primarily looking at brands, or are you looking at, you know, say, brands along with manufacturing and sales force? So how do you think about that?
Brands is what we're looking for. I think in segments that we're not present.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Because we have a reasonable amount of manufacturing in our setup. I'm not saying we have every possible therapeutic area, but I think we have a reasonable amount of footprint in manufacturing. I mean, obviously, there are gaps in our manufacturing too, in terms of certain therapies. Like, for example, we're not there in antibiotics. You know, just giving an example, or we're not there in PNMs, for example. But having said that, I think, domestic itself is not a manufacturing play, it's more of a brand play. The manufacturing, even if you don't have, you can always get a CMO to do it for you. Because the ecosystem for the domestic manufacturing is quite good. So that's not the challenge. I think the bigger challenge is possibly the branding business is where the real value is. You know.
Sure. Thanks, Rajiv. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Bhatia from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Rajiv. Good morning. Just two questions from my side, purely on the domestic side. One, at the macro level, if you're talking about 10 to 15% organic growth, how should we look at the split between price, volume, and new launches? So that's the simple first question. On the second aspect, purely from the domestic oncology business, if you could give us some incremental flavor for the last 5-6 quarters, because there is certain aspect of the market itself shrinking, there is certain aspect of us losing out on some market share in certain products. So how are you thinking about these two things, right? Because going forward, again, the growth element has to be driven by the market as also growing, and we also taking back incremental market share. So maybe a little bit of your thoughts on this.
I don't know if I can answer your question at the level of detail you're asking me, but I think I'll tell you what I'm thinking about at a high level. I mean, if you want to get growth, I mean, you need to have good launches. So launches will obviously contribute to, 50% of your growth. So you need to have good launches. That's probably 50% of us. Two, gaining share on molecules. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It depends on the molecule and the intensity of the competition. But overall, if you see, I mean, our portfolio is not the type that you can take price increases on. I mean, it's not like a steady-state diabetes, cardio type of portfolio. Like, we don't raise MRPs so much. For most of our portfolio, we never raise MRPs because it's a very price-sensitive portfolio. So I think that's how you look at it. But I think what really matters is, see, another challenge, and you see this in the data that you hear, is that the volume increase is low in the market. It's a lot of the older products. It's a lot of it is coming from price increases. So if you want growth, I think the formula for that is you need to have very good new launches, and your core business has to be growing. And some businesses will not grow, but overall, I think mixing up with some core business like your cardio, diabetes, where there's better uptake because you're an upstart, and then maybe some new launches which will drive growth. So I think, and that's how you'll look at it.
Given that the price increases are not there in this area of the business, the oncology part of it, it would be fair to say that the prices are not revised downwards as well, like in a general scenario, except excluding the COVID period.
Could you rephrase that question? I didn't understand what you said. Could you say that one more time, please? No mind.
Yeah, sure. to clarify, what you were saying is that we don't take any price increase on the portfolio. Would it be fair to also say that the price revision, downward price revision, would also be completely absent? Like, there is no price reduction that usually takes place in the oncology domestic portfolio.
Price erosion means what happens, there tend to be very high discounts. So there's always pricing pressure. I depends on the product. So to answer your question, yes, there's always pricing pressure. The price increase portfolio that happens generally happens in the more retail driven products, which are sold at the your neighborhood pharmacy. It doesn't happen with the hospital type of products, because you're competing with other companies which are also bidding in tenders. So it's not a strict comparison. You can't compare. It's apples and oranges. It's not a literal comparison. It's a completely different business. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Thank you, Rahul. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Mishra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. My question is just on the NR2694 trial, which is due Feb 24. Just wanted to understand, sir, what that drug is, and if everything goes well, are we looking for partnership for phase 3 trials? And going forward, I mean, is NATCO going to allocate some capital on building NCE pipeline as well? Thank you.
I think we have a reasonable set of NCE pipeline. I think this particular one, we got USFDA clearance to do a trial there. So we're doing it on patients in the US as we speak. At this time, it's premature, my friend. I don't want to say anything at this time. I think once we get some data, I think we'll talk about it. Yes, I think... We are doing it in our core strength, which is oncology. So at this time, sure. Improvement for my friend, I don't want to say anything else. Yeah.
Agree, sir. So, sir, on the longer term strategy, right? I mean, would there be? Do you have some plans of capital allocation on NCE side as well?
We're doing a little bit of capital allocation. That's correct. It's already done. I think 2694 is funded by the balance sheet. Generally, we don't talk about things where we don't reach a certain stage of progression. I mean, that's where we can give some sort of perspective on where it's going. I think once you make some progress, I think we'll come back to you. I think where we make significant progress, we'll come back to you. I think it's too early to comment at this time.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Mehta from Nirzar Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just have one question. So, can you provide the breakup of market share for CTPR between us, FMC and Best Agro?
The market is still evolving, Karan, at this time. I don't have the answer to that question. Maybe after the season ends, I'll tell you, because it's the first true season we have launched. So, at this time, it's premature. I don't have an answer to that question.
Okay. Can we comment on our share on for CTPR?
I mean, good question. We are expecting about 10% to 15% market share. I think that's our internal target internally. But I think, again, you don't want to throw a number that you can't, hold up. So let me see how the season ends. And I think we probably need to, see some market data, and I'll come back to you. But I think that's the targeted market share, I think.
Just want to add one more thing, Karan. So that's absolutely what Rajiv just mentioned. We have to go through the season before we realize where we end up. But overall, our brand and product reception has been very good. In fact, after FMC, the big name which hovers around is NATCO's brand. So let's see. All our CTPR products are doing fairly well. We have the individual as well as the combination products. So in a way, the combination products, we have less competition as well. So those are doing quite well. So,
okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, Rajesh.
Yeah,
am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Do we have any impact of the ongoing overpricing policy of the Indian government on the domestic front?
Could you clarify your question, Vishal, like a DPCO case against us? Is that what you're trying to say?
On the domestic front, there is overpricing policy of the Indian government for which there are a lot of litigation spending. Do we have any such effect on our balance sheet?
No, my friend. We don't have any claims from DPCO in our balance sheet at this time. We don't have any claims.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, my question related to our press release on 26 July, we filed the ANDA for the brand Palversa. This product, I believe J&J in their recent conference call, they mentioned that this product could be more than a billion dollar opportunity for them based on some new indication that they have received. So how are we thinking about this product, and where are we in terms of approval or launch timelines or something like that?
It's very early stage. I will not put any numbers to it because I don't have the answer. The last number I've seen was about 40 million, but I think it's a good product. And I was saying, I think a few minutes ago when somebody asked me, I don't recollect the name who asked me, but if this product grows well, we have a sole FTF on this, so I think that's a good position to be. And at this stage, we just filed the product, so the review is ongoing, and the litigation is also very at very early stage, so we're very early to comment.
Right. All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Shah from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, please. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so just one clarification. When you say that the quarter two and quarter one would be two similar quarters, do you mean that in the thing of the same EBITDA margins and sales as well?
I think that's our expectation. Let me see how the quarter ends, but I think our expectation is that we should have a good Q2 as well.
Okay, and so just wanted to know regarding the capacity utilization.
Say that one more time, my friend. Repeat, please.
So just wanted to know regarding your capacity utilization.
Capacity utilization in the company, you're saying, as in all?
Yeah, systems. Correct. Yes, sir.
Typically, we run around like 60%, typically 60-65, because our portfolio is very niche. So I think I don't do too many commodity products. So on that reason.
Sure, sir. Yes, sir. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rushik Oza from Nine Rays Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I just wanted to know, if we have provided 51 crores for any potential litigations, so does it meet any of your required amount, or will there be any further provisions made on similar to this in the next few quarters, one? And two is, in the last two quarters, we had little one-offs. This quarter also, we had some 17 crores incentive. Is there any one-offs likely to come in the next one or two quarters?
17 crore incentive is obviously linked with the success of the company. So, I mean, obviously you have to reward your employees. So, I mean, we just stated, what we have done. Regarding the patent litigation, I think this is something that's been there for a long time. I think, we know that you launch at risk and we're a very aggressive litigator. And I think a lot of times you've won our cases. Some cases are still unresolved. I think what we did is we looked at the whole portfolio that we launched at risk, and we made an assessment that if we were to settle or we were to lose a case or something were to happen, what could be the financial risk? And all these issues are very difficult to judge because each case has its own merits and it's over multiple products. So I think after much analysis, I think we sat with our auditor and I think we came up with a number that that 51 crores should cover, I think, most of the liability. I mean, will it cover or will we exceeding the liability? Will we exceed that number? Probably not. I think it probably addresses most of the liability. I think that's our sense. Again, see, we're making an estimation about something that we don't know anything about, right? You're asking me to make an estimation about, 8 or 10 lawsuits that we have, where we are running at risk. So it's very difficult to judge. So I think We use a fairly reasonable mathematical model. So I think to answer your question, I think it covers most of the risk, I think, if that's your concern.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you all.
Right. Thank you all. Again, very good set of questions. We will have all of these also uploaded in the website once we have the transcripts. Thank you all and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of NATCO Pharma Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.